Welcome to the Spectrum of Health podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Christine Schaffner, and today we're going to be talking about a solo podcast where the topic is the terrain of the brain. In honor of Mental Health Awareness Month, I am sharing a little bit of a different perspective of brain health, and in my hope, in my lifetime, and in my career, that we can expand upon just the regular perspective of looking at neuropsychiatric conditions and mental health conditions and really try to digest and discover and study the true root causes of why people could have those symptoms. And again, this is just one perspective that I think we need to integrate into the global perspective. And when I talk about terrain medicine and the terrain of the brain, I'm thinking about the landscape and the conditions and the microbiomes and the flow of the lymphatics and bringing oxygen and nutrition and removing waste. And terrain medicine has this idea that we are not just victim to our environment, but the environment within us dictates our response to the environment. And we can empower our epigenetic expression, we can heal our trauma, we can remove environmental toxicants, and we can treat the dysbiotic pathogens or the stealth pathogens that thrive within us. And that can shape and transform our history and our response and of course, our health. Terrain medicine also looks at this idea. When we think about the brain, we think about interference fields. And there are two big interference fields that we talk about when we think about brain health. And we look at the sinuses and the sinus microbiota, as well as the proximity to the brain and how there are highways between the sinuses and the brain. And using drainage and sinus rinses and things like propolis or Paxamune or HOCL or nasal clear to help restore a healthy microbiome, especially if people have been in mold exposure. We also think about the oral microbiome, because if the oral microbiome has amalgam fillings or root canals or cavitations, we've known that there's a connection between a certain spirochete that can be in the mouth that can traverse to the brain and actually create, you know, symptoms known as Alzheimer's. There is a relationship or a connection. And our oral microbiome, the healthier that is, the healthier our brain health is, the less toxicants get in the nerves that can be highways back into the brain and create conditions for a healthy brain. So we always think about the sinuses, the mouth, and one more, the tonsils. And we look at the tonsil health because the tonsils are a big lymphatic area that if the health of the tonsils is optimized, then our lymphatic drainage is working well, our gut health is working well. And if we've had chronic strep or Epstein-Barr, or we're struggling with a PANS or PANDAS diagnosis, the stealth pathogens that live in those tonsils can migrate up into the brain and also traverse around the body. So I mention these because when we think about creating a healthy environment in the brain, we have to think about healthy sinuses. We have to think about healthy oral microbiome. We have to think about a healthy tonsil microbiome. We have to have good lymph and blood flow in and out of the brain. And that's why we talk a lot about sleep and the lymphatic system. So those are all the backdrop to create the, you know, healthy environment in the brain. And one of the things I'd like to share is that my dear friend, Dr. Marco Ruggiero, taught me that the brain has a microbiome. This was a new idea that we don't talk about at schools, or I didn't learn at school. We learned that, you know, neurons don't even heal, that when I was in biochemistry and biology and pre-med, a group of researchers at the University of Alabama in Birmingham, actually led by Professor Rosalinda Roberts, showed high-resolution microscopic images of human brains that depicted bacteria happily residing in astrocytes, which are the star-shaped brain cells that interact with and support the neurons. They are a key to the regulation of lymph with the lymphatic system. And they identified that most of the bacteria residing in these astrocytes are Firmicutes, Proteobacteria, and Bacteroides. And they actually had a role and they assisted in aiding detoxification in the brain because the astrocytes are part of that lymphatic system to remove the flow of lymph. And then also they can help to create new neuronal connections when we think about neuroplasticity. So that's a big idea. And Dr. Ruggiero called the brain microbiome the fourth brain. There's a ton of research that still needs to be done, but it's opening our minds that it's not the sterile, contained, you know, organ that's behind this very tough blood-brain barrier that doesn't interact with the probiotics that we find often in our gut as well. And then when we learn about Alzheimer's and we think about the idea of neuroinflammation and what happens with cognitive decline, we often talk about amyloid beta. And in an Alzheimer's brain and a brain that has dementia and cognitive decline, we see these amyloid plaques. And amyloid, they clump together, they form plaques, and they collect between the neurons, and they then affect communication because there's these plaque buildups that are in between the nerves, so the nerves can't talk to each other as well. There's also something called neurofibrillary tangles that are an accumulation of this tau protein, and that blocks actually neuron transport in the synapse where neurotransmitters communicate. And there's also a loss of brain volume. And we found that actually amyloid beta is an antimicrobial peptide. So again, this is a new idea. This is not just a random buildup of this plaque in between the neuron, but it is signaled because of different microbes that could be in the brain. Just like how we get gut dysbiosis, we can get brain dysbiosis. And that can be related potentially to, parasitic infections. There could be even candida. There can also be viruses. And I went to a conference way back when, and the big researchers of the time with Alzheimer's, Dr. Tansey, he found that the herpes simplex virus was actually kind of a trigger within these amyloid plaques, and that's what they found. So what we're talking about is the brain has a microbiome. We have to think about the microbiomes in the sinuses, the mouth, the tonsils. We have to think about the regulation of blood and lymph in the brain. We have to think about, okay, if we have a neurodegenerative disease or some type of expression in that way, what is underneath the creation of these plaques and tangles and tau proteins that are creating neurodegenerative symptoms that could be actually treated, right? And that could, once we treat the root cause, we can start to repair. Another thing that I want to talk about too, when we think about the terrain of the brain, there's many things that I want to share, but I just want to add our good friends, Dr. Bredesen and Dr. Heather Sandinson, who has been carrying on his work. There is a type of Alzheimer's and cognitive decline being related to mold, and they call it inhalational Alzheimer's. It's one of his types, his type three of cognitive decline, knowing that when people have a mold exposure, that it can create, I hear, brain fog, the memory loss. Many people get quite panicked because they think that their brain is damaged and won't come back. But when they get out of the mold and they heal, there's these areas that I've been telling you about and go through extensive mold detoxification, their brain and their memory comes back, and also their mood as well. There can be a lot of mood changes with these issues. So the point that I'm really, wanting to make again about this is that there's always an underlying cause. And when we think about brain health, I just wanted to mention one other thing in this short little solo podcast is that we also have, the history of brain injury or traumatic brain injury. And that is a very devastating thing that can happen to the brain and can change the environment. So it can change the anatomical structures of the astrocytes around the neurons, and then the neurons don't get the waste cleared out or the toxicants or microbes cleared out of the brain. And then there is this accumulation of waste and tau and amyloid that creates a cognitive decline that people have had a traumatic brain injury. There's also something called microglia activation in neurodegeneration. And the glial cells are, again, basically housekeeping cells, and the microglia help to repair and clean up, any areas of injury. But when there is repetitive injury or a trauma to the brain, they can become activated, and that activation creates more reactive oxygen species and areas of neuroinflammation, leading to cell death, and then also other areas of cognitive decline. So the big question that we ask in the backdrop of, how the brain works is, how do we look at this idea that if we can look at more root causes from, you know, the connection to aluminum and mercury in the brain, and also the triggers of neurological diseases from mold or traumatic brain injury or poor astrocyte function or microbes that are stored in the sinuses, the tonsils, or the mouth, then we have a lot of cleanup work to do and kind of rebalancing and recalibrating. But there is a more understanding that this is not just a random genetic fate, that this is actually a consequence or an unfolding of a lifetime of exposures. And so I wanted to plant the seed for thinking about brain health in this way. And, you know, there's so many things, there's so many solutions, from getting great sleep to being mindful of your circadian biology and the light environment that you're in, to supporting your whole lymphatic system, where we created a whole line of products to help you do that. And there's so much great education now to support lymphatic health, to sinus drainage, to tonsil sprays, to good dental work and working with a highly trained biological dentist in concert with a naturopathic doctor. And, you know, looking at, you know, how to heal from hyperbaric oxygen to photodynamic therapy and light therapy to, again, skilled body workers who know chiropractic or craniosacral. And then really, there are a lot of labs out there too. If you're investigating this, you can look at things like Vibrant America that can look at a lot of terrain markers from different viruses that you might have had an exposure to, Lyme and co-infections, to parasites, to mold. And again, I could, you'd probably talk all day about all the things that we can do, but I'm planting the seed. You know, we are way more powerful than we'll ever know. And our body is a healing machine, and it can regenerate, repair. It just needs to remove the stress and remove the blocks to that regulatory capacity. So I hope this was a little tidbit to inspire you about taking care of your brain. And if your brain is not working in the best capacity, whether it's insomnia, brain fog, anxiety, depression, poor concentration, any of those things, I invite you to take another deeper look at what could really be underneath. And I hope that you find your path to healing. And please reach out if you have any questions. I'd be happy to support you on your road to recovery and healing. I hope you have a beautiful day, and thank you so much for listening.